Happy Monday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, coming to you live on Memorex, default location, alternate route. It's been a while since I did one of these talks, since we've had these talks. There's been things going on with me, and I feel even weird saying that, because in the grand scale of things, it's almost embarrassing for me to even mention what I may or may not, quote, be going through. Because it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. But as I was thinking, everything is relative and subjective. And the trauma or the impact on Skylar when she goes to Starbucks and they're out of her favorite latte, her reaction to that, and how she takes it, is completely relative in comparison to Dante, whose car was just stolen. And it had his phone and his paycheck, et cetera, in it. The event is one thing, or the situation or the trauma is one thing. The effect it has on the person is another. And it's hard to judge. And my little situation here, where I was sick. I hadn't been sick in a while. I got back from Ohio, feeling pretty good. I came back from Ohio feeling pretty good. Granted, my throat was a little sore, but I left Ohio, felt pretty good. Landed 1 o'clock in the morning, Monday night, or Sunday night, what was that, Sunday night, Monday? Monday night. Tuesday morning, I guess. And I'd already taken the day off. So I was kind of looking forward to that. But when I woke up on that Tuesday, I was sick as a dog. Well, not quite. I can't even say I was sick as a dog. You know, I was achy, sore throat. I thought it was allergies or COVID. I don't know. I don't think it was a flu because there was no fever, no nausea. There really wasn't even any mucus or congestion. Just a sore throat and completely achy to the point where I couldn't even move. I had chills. I stayed in the bed all day long. It was so bad, I took the next 3 days off. And she called me into work a few hours on Thursday because they were short. And I worked on Friday. And I'm not used to being sick. So as I was saying, the difference between Skylar and Deontay, what did I call him, Dante? What did I call him, Deontay? Which one was that? It's relative. I'm not used to being sick, and I didn't feel like I was gonna die. But I was just like, oh my God. It was very uncomfortable, to say the least. And then on top of that, right before I left for Ohio, to come back, I found out my cousin, Daryl Richardson, had passed. I had recently saw him. He came to my niece's graduation party we had back here in Ohio. So I got to see him and all his sisters. These are my first cousins. And it made me think about, you know, exactly what first cousins are. You know, are you here to turn first cousins, but do you really stop and realize it? And maybe not until now where my kids are having kids, where the significance of first cousins kind of hits. Because I just stop and think. First cousins are your parents' siblings' kids. That's about as close as you can get. Your parents' siblings' kids. My mother had one sister who had one daughter. My father had a brother and sister who had 8 kids, I believe. 8. And Uncle Jerry and Aunt Jerry had 3. Chip Kelly, Kathy Joe, Aunt Joanne and Uncle Lawrence, I believe, had 5. Cheryl, Daryl, Melanie, Michelle, and April. And thinking about it, Daryl, you know, me and Daryl been through stuff. Me and him, you know, we didn't grow up together, but we hung. You know, we hung in our youth, in Nana's backyard, at cookouts. He was always, you know, right there with me. And because I guess our personality differences, or just the way our personalities, you know, he was always bigger than me and older than me. But I was probably the energy and the motivation to do things that we did, whether we were supposed to do them or not. And usually, you know, I didn't go too far out of bounds on my father's side, because my father was there. Not in the Mitchell side. There's only so far you're going to do. Like I said, the story I tell is, in that house, kids go in there for years, for decades. And it was a candy bowl that sat on that table for decades. Never got broken, never got touched. It was just inconceivable. It was like a toy box that we used to play with, the same toys, been there for decades. Playing in the room and stuff. You just didn't mess up. You just didn't, you know. Whereas on my mother's side, we basically tore up everything, except for a few things. A few things we didn't touch. But, you know, it was more ruckus and more liberated, I guess, for children over there. So we hung out. Then as I got older and became an adult, he was there when I had a car, hanging out in Faro, doing the things teenage boys do. Teenage boys emerging into adulthood do. You know, we looking to get a little drink, looking to get our smoke. You know, and I was still learning the ropes. I remember hanging with him, Haskell and Durham. Basically learning the game. Just watching, you know, how they do it. You know, how they went through it, how, you know, this and that. Just, you know, learning. I remember going over to Daryl's house. He was into electronics. We both was into electronics. And he had kids. And a couple times we hooked up and did electronic-y, techie stuff. And I think he may be one of the first cousin to pass. Because we're at that age now. My sister told me that my Aunt Lou passed. Aunt Lou was the mother of Faye, Carl, and Pandy, my other cousins, on my mother's side, where I had a lot of cousins on my mother's side. Not necessarily first cousins or whatever, but I had a lot of cousins on my mother's side. I mean, cousins that I don't even think is cousins. Just so many intertangled, I guess, in-law cousins, this, that. It was just everybody was my cousin in Vero. And Aunt Lou, story I'm told is Aunt Lou was there when I was born. They was going out. Because my mother, Aunt Lou, Aunt Connie, and some other people, they was going out. And I guess my mother started having contractions or something. And it wasn't like the first time. So it was like, all right, we'll drop you off at the hospital. We'll come back after we come from the club. And the story my mother tells is that not only did they come back, my father came back. All right, you ready to go? Come back to pick my mother up from the hospital. And there I was. So Aunt Lou and them go back. The other thing about Aunt Lou and them is, you know, in her age, she grew older. They show videos of her dancing. And I always thought to myself, you know, the whole dancing thing, I wasn't sure where it came from. But I didn't really think about where it came from. You know, I thought, you know, it might have been me and Parliaments and, you know, my P-Funky. Did I discovered it or invented it? But no, this dancing thing, they tell me my mother had it. Mom said my mother would go to a club and just be dancing in the corner by herself for hours. That's my thing. When I found out I didn't need nobody else to dance with, woo! And the whole dynamics behind that. And then so they would always show videos of Aunt Lou dancing. You know, in her older, later years. On beat, of course. Getting it. It's just, you know, I thought it's part of something that I came from. Not that I discovered. My sister told me that, you know, Aunt Lou had passed. I was like, yeah, we're at that age now. We're at that age where, unfortunately or fortunately, it's not so much of a shock or a surprise when you hear somebody pass. Now, some of them do hit. Some of them are, you know, like, whoa. But everybody gonna die. Everybody gonna die, and everybody don't take care of themselves the same. Whatever that means, however you wanna look, think about that. See people in different levels of health and well-being, physically, mentally, and psychologically, and the toll it takes on them over the years, and their demeanor, and just their overall outlook and everything, and their zeal and motivation for life and how they look at life. They wake up every day saying, ooh, yeah, it's today, yeah. Let's go, let's go. Or is it like, oh God, I gotta deal with this today, or I can't do this today, or I'm limited in this capacity today, or and our eating habits and exercise and all of that. We're getting older. And I know that me being out here doing these walks every day helps. It has to. And if it doesn't, I don't care. It makes me feel better right now, today. Whether it's adding years to my life or taking years off my life remains to be seen. But I bet the data and the science to develop that data would indicate that me being out here getting this exercise is definitely something positive for my longevity. But in fact, right now, as we speak, Daryl's funeral should be going on at Ruth AME Zion Church, the church I was actually baptized in, my father's side of the family. Though I attended my mother's church much, much, much more regularly and participated in her church, Triumph, the Church of Kingdom of God of Christ, and believed more along the lines of their doctrine, though I was pretty much always an atheist, even back then, even as a young child growing up, even giving speeches in church. I used to give, you know, Easter speeches, this and that. And I knew which ones to pick. I knew how to pick the ones to get the people going that didn't compromise my beliefs. Or I can get my point across and I can give them what they want without it being, with it still being secular. Let's put it that way. With it still being secular. So the family's probably sitting in that church. Nana and Papa went. My father's parents, church I was baptized. Family's there. Then also comes a, you have to start making decisions or considerations. Do I go back for this funeral? You know, am I supposed to be there? And I guess you gotta kind of weigh in on all that and figure that. But I guess you just gotta go by your gut. And I guess it comes, some of them you just, you know, you just know you gotta be there. You're back there for the family or whatever. But this time, I thought about it, you know, first cousin Daryl and Cheryl and all them, April, how they, you know, going through there. I wanted to be there. If I was back there, I'd have been there. And having just flown back and being sick and being off work and all that could be worked through. The money, all that could be worked through. That's not a, you know, I could maybe use that as an excuse or reasoning, and probably in the scheme of social human dynamics, be allowed to get away with it based on that criteria. Everybody would say, yeah. But I don't know, airfare, I could have, you know, I could have, but I guess the main thing, the PTO, missing work, all that started to pile up. And I said, I just got back, you know, turn around and fly back. But it came down, and it's the final straw was, I'm still recovering. I'm still rather weak And the idea of getting back on airplane and going back there in that weather, not feeling 100%, that was the probably the determining factor. I just didn't have the strength or the energy. I didn't have it. And basically, I didn't do much. I worked Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday. I was mostly horizontal. I didn't even get my steps yesterday. I got up and got up Saturday. But yesterday, I didn't even get my steps. That's where I was. Shit, I gotta pee. Did I say that on camera? Let me pause this thing. Whew. Yeah, that's why I didn't get steps yesterday. Still recovering. Had a fairly good day at work Friday. I had a fairly good day at work considering I hadn't done it in a week. Well, you may say, yeah, you've been doing it for 10 years now. It shouldn't be that difficult for you. You've been doing it for 10 years now. It shouldn't be that difficult for you, but we got new systems and things change and working from home, and, you know, it's always a challenge. You know, one thing about my job I love and it keeps me in the game is it's still a challenge. And there's a certain level that I want to maintain that a level of performance that I want to maintain that I put pressure on myself about and for. So every call or every email or chat that comes in, you know, I turn on. My senses are heightened. I'm stimulated, excited. The energy gets going. So I still treat every call, every contact, you know, with the utmost respect. They got them a generator. Folks got electric. I ain't mad. So that was probably the final determination. I'm still coughing stuff up and I'm not at 100%. Still doing stuff, going through stuff. Pittsburgh won yesterday. They beat Cleveland handily, like I knew they would. I was worried about the 6 points. Pittsburgh don't ever beat nobody the right way. And even one of the podcasts yesterday that I listened to, they took their foot off the gas early again. They always taking their fucking foot off the gas early, letting the team make it closer. Now, of course, they had it won. But I had to give up 6 points. So if they'd have let Cleveland go down there and score a throwaway touchdown, it'd have messed up my bet. That's the part I was worried about. I knew Pittsburgh would beat Cleveland. Just like I knew they would lose to Cleveland a couple weeks ago in Cleveland. And one of the podcast dudes even said, yeah, he tired of them taking their foot off the gas and letting them make it more close than it should be. How are these people up here doing? I'm gonna shut it down for a little bit. I ain't trying to be in their business. So I'm gonna pause it. Gotta take it out of their hands. See how I'm walking up here? See how they driving? See how he's rolling? You got all this whole side of the street up here. That's actually the walking lane. He riding in the walking lane. I just get out of people's way. I don't want them to have to make any decisions. Let me just go over here. You just do you. Stay where you at. Don't think. Stop. Don't think. Don't. Just stay away from me. So yeah, my friend's going through it. And now, as I was younger, growing up, looking at Nana and Papa and Grandma, I grew up with my grandma, and Pharaoh on my mother's side, who was my mother's grandmother, my great-grandmother. So when I look at them and Thanksgiving dinners and the kiddie tables and how I was the kid, now I'm looking at, where I'm at the other end of that, for granddaughter and grandson. I'm the Nana and Papa. I'm the elderly patriarch or spokesman. I'm that authority or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, you could say circle of life and all that. You could say all kinds of stuff like that. Circle of life. And I believe in that. I believe in life and death. And things end and nothing lasts forever. And I look at some people and I think to myself, okay, he was 95 years old. What is you sad about? What are we to be sad about? They lived a full life. Hopefully, they accomplished the things they wanted to in that life. And they lived for 95. I mean, I understand the tendency or the natural inclination to be sad when somebody passes. But it really should be more of a celebration in a lot of cases. Somebody told me, I think one co-worker or something, he said his mother passed. And I was like, how old were they? He said they were like 95. I was like, that's a win. And he said that one day she just got up and, did the shower, the nurse, the regular stuff, we're going through. And next day just passed. You basically can't answer too much more than that. You really basically cannot ask for too much more than that. Live to 95 and then, live your life up to pretty much a normal capacity before you go. I think she went to sleep and didn't wake up. I mean, what the fuck else is there? How else do you want to go? Or do I want to know? Or do I want to be known so I can face it? Do I want to be alone during that time? Do I want somebody there with me? I don't know. I am a, I do like experiencing things by myself. And at that moment, I'm definitely thinking that I would want to be alone. I would want to, not have any distractions. Me and my mortality, face head on, face to face. I mean, that's what I say now. I don't know. You don't know. You can't really say. You really can't say. because I have like opinions on what my mother's going through now and whether or not I would be able to go through it. And I really can't say because I don't know. I don't know what the thought process would be or how it will hit when I get to that point. And by hit, I mean, you know, how's it gonna feel when you get to that point? Of life. I just took a picture. Don't ask me why. I just took a picture. The fall day is kind of nice. I can take a screenshot when I get back, but woo! Hear that? Something fell out of the tree. Probably one of them squirrels up there dropped it. Or it don't look like that tree should have any acorns or nuts or anything on it. What is this? If I hit this, what does this do? Oh wow, what is that? Oh wow, we don't like that. Go back. Go back. What did I just do? What did I just do? Okay, I put it back. All right. As you can see, there's a lot of homeless debris. People like setting fires for some reason. I think these people actually set these fires. I don't know if something caught on fire or somebody actually set that fire. I don't know. I gotta step it up. Let me maintain my pace to get home. I wish I might need to go get some broccoli because I got cauliflower, but I might need broccoli for breakfast. I got sour cream, cottage cheese and salad for the night, but I don't have any broccoli. But I could eat, we'll see. We'll figure it out. Mr. Scale told me 221.0 this morning, which is not good, but considering it could have been a lot worse, but it's still not good. Should come right off, but this is like the third time, so it might not come off as fast as the other times, but we'll see. Because I'm not sweating, it's not summertime, I'm not sweating as much, I'm not gonna get that low after walk weight because I sweat it, a lot of water weight off. So I've been losing about 1.8 pounds. I think I lose 2.6 on a good walk. Order a new sauna suit. I'll start wearing that when it gets colder. So we'll see. I'll probably get back. I should be 218.4 when I weigh in when I get home. Should be 218.4. Something like that. I say 218.4, but I really am hoping for less than that. If I get 217.8 or something like that. If I can lose 3.2, that's too much. I ain't gonna lose no 3.2. I'm gonna lose 2.6. So we'll see. But I gotta get it started again by New Year's Day. By New Year's Eve, I wanna start the year off right. And today's the 9th. I got 22 days to do it, and I can do it. I can do it. I definitely can do it. I want to start the year off If I can start the year off under 200, that'd be miraculous. If I can start the year off under 200, that's a lofty goal. That's a lofty goal. And I was thinking maybe 205. Maybe 205. 205. 210. 210 is kind of... 210 is probably too easy. 205. If I can, by New Year's Eve, we get 205, 203, 202, something like that. Gotta be really good. Gotta be really good, because it's the season. I looked last year. Last year, from December 31st to January 31st, I gained like 20 pounds. So, and I'm ahead of that right now. Because I'm still, since I never took that weight off. So I'm still higher. And that weight never came off. Because I was down 200, 195, 198. November last year. I was like 203, 204, something like that. 198, 197, something like that. And then it's November 23, then it just took off. So if I can get down, you know, if I get down to that weight, if I can get down to that 203, 202 for the new year, that would make me very, very happy. And I think I should shoot for that. I think I'm gonna shoot for that. Also got my night guard. I like it. I like my night guard. The only thing is I be forgetting to put it in. It don't bother me. In fact, I like sleeping in it. I like it. I just forget to put it on sometimes. I could have made it. I just forget to put it on sometimes. Anyhow. I don't know what to say. Do I say, I guess rest in peace, rest in heaven, rest well. Mr. Durrell, I think Durrell Lawrence Richardson. Cousin, like I said, he had probably be one of the first people I've ever met. Probably definitely one of the first male people I met, you know, who was like, you know, contemporary or, you know, somebody you play with, you know, not being an authority. Because anything, that's what I say, rest well. Because, I mean, I don't believe in heaven. What do Jewish people say? What do Jewish people say? They don't believe in heaven either. I got to look that up. I got to think of, you know, I just think of condolences. I think sometimes I do say rest well. I'm not sure. Anyhow. So I'm going to y'all two times. For me, for the phone. And for every elementary particle that has ever existed in any atom in this or any universe that ever was, is, or will be. A totality of it all, theory of universe. Hypothesis of all as one. Rest well, Durrell Richardson. Rest well, or do whatever happens when we die. We will remember you. My name is Jeffrey.